Brandon Biesmeyer climbs up a small ladder into a 12-foot-high John Deere sprayer, into what looks like a tractor cab.
So what do you want to do? You want to go for a ride? You want to?
Yeah, let's go for a ride.
All right, sounds good.
We're heading out to spray an herbicide on his cornfields. In the cab, on a computer screen, a little pixelated tractor moves across, showing what we've sprayed.
It turns everything blue that we've hit. And I think sometimes you get so focused on this screen that you forget what you're even doing.
This is just one piece of expensive equipment on the Biesmeyer family farm. There's a huge combine and a corn planter. While we move across the field, a GPS system guides the sprayer. He barely touches the steering wheel.
It won't be very long before these things are driving themselves and we're not even out here.
These machines allow Biesmeyer and his brother to farm nearly 7,000 acres in this rural pocket of northeastern Colorado, near the Nebraska border. Just a few decades ago, it'd be really difficult for a family to manage that much cropland. Now, Biesmeyer says, this is a medium-sized farm in this part of the plains.
It takes a lot of acres to pay that combine off, or that corn planter off, or that sprayer off.
And that means farms have to grow in size to make ends meet. You can't just farm 80 acres and make a living, he says.
I wish you could. I think life would be a lot simpler and easier, and there'd be just a lot more people out here, I think, if that was the case.
And this is sort of a classic story in any competitive industry, right?
Jim MacDonald is an economist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He says farmers like Biesmeyer are on a technology treadmill. As more farmers adopt new technology, they become more efficient, drive down prices on the crops they produce, and...
That means the people that have not adopted find themselves with high costs and find it very difficult to make any money. And many of them wind up deciding to get out of the business.
The equipment is bigger and just takes more to farm, and the cost is tremendous.
That's Quentin Biesmeyer, Brandon's grandfather. He goes by Bud. The family farms near Haxton, Colorado, population 917. That's 200 fewer people than when the town was at its peak in 1920. Back when Bud started farming in the late 40s, Haxton was bustling with activity.
Well, there was just more people. We'd come to town Saturday night, and the street was lined with cars, and they had a movie theater here.
And a bowling alley, more restaurants, but not today. Fewer farmers nearby translates to fewer businesses in town. And this is a common story in towns across the Midwest and Great Plains. University of Missouri rural sociologist Mary Hendrickson says, if we want a healthier environment and economy, then we need to support the farmers who manage land and water and the small towns they live in.
Farmers can't do it on their own. So it's going to take some investments from rural development agencies, from potentially from people outside the region as well.
Still, it's not all doom and gloom in Haxton. Parts of the town's economy are thriving despite the declining number of farmers. Those bigger farms need more services, more agriculture specialists they can hire to help out. Like Dave Gibson. I met him out in a cornfield at the edge of town.
My grandfather was a farmer and my dad was a sharecropper, and then now I'm an agronomist, so I just farm vicariously through others.
Today, Gibson is out here hunting for corn rootworms, which feed on the crops and cut down on yields. On a given day, Gibson does everything from soil sampling to mixing farm chemicals, so farmers can focus on staying in the field.
When you talk about what's going to keep our town alive, our little town of Haxton, it's going to be kids coming home, coming back to farm.
That is, if their family has held on to the farm for that next generation to come back to. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.